because one of the things that strikes me is all of those songs have to deal with, or did deal with, the idea that there is a God. And I say it every so often. In fact, I say it probably more than I should. There is a God, and we aren't Him. And I wanted to remind you, just simply put, that God is not like us. He isn't just a little bit above us. This last week, or really a couple of weeks ago, I was watching one of those comic book type movies, and it just struck me there that some of them were demigods and sort of gods and not really gods. And I think sometimes we have this assumption that God is just a little bit higher than us. That's not the case. Our God is grand and glorious. He is the sustainer of all things. The real danger that you and I have here today is that we confuse Him with something other than what He is. Our God is our shepherd. And this morning we're going to be speaking about fear, and we're going to be talking about the salvation that we can get from Christ so that it doesn't capture our imaginations. If you look verses 2 and 3, it says this: He makes us lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores our lives. He leads us to good paths. And so we're going to be talking about those next few, those two verses today. Next week we'll deal with some other issues. But one of the things that's happened to me is I've been going through this psalm numerous times and read it in the past, is I'm getting to know a lot about sheep. Did you know sheep don't lie down or rest or thrive without the freedom from fear? In fact, for a sheep to rest, for a sheep to lie down, and I love that it says that He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. There are basically four things sheep need before they'll lie down. The first idea is that basically sheep won't lie down if there's any sense of fear. One of the things we learned with our sheep is that we have a dog named Winnie. She's about 105 pounds at this point. It fluctuates up and down every so often. But I learned when the dog came out, no matter where those sheep were in that field by us, they would stop and look and notice exactly where she was. And one of the interesting things about our dog is that well, it's not really interesting, it's just a fun thing I do every so often. As he walks out the door, I just say, "Get him!" And he would run toward that fence, and it was amazing. You know, the sheep would wait till he's about halfway there and then just go off in all four directions, and when he would come back, like, she actually did something really amazing and good. But from that point on, every time that door opened and that dog came out, those sheep were looking. They couldn't rest if they knew that she was out there. There's a freedom. Sheep won't lie down if there's friction within the herd. And it just sort of strikes me that that's a lot like us. And one of the things I want to challenge us with this year in 2019 is that you and I need to get to a place where we decide that we're going to assume goodwill with everyone who walks through our doors. And so often in our imaginations, we assume that people spend like all night long trying to mess with you. That doesn't happen. I don't know anybody who does that. I know some spouses think that their wives or husbands stay up nights thinking of ways to mess with them. Just this year, 2019, let go of the friction and just assume some goodwill when you walk through the doors. Sheep won't lie down if there's any pests, be it predators or fleas or flies. And sheep won't lie down if they're hungry. And I think that's a pretty powerful list of what's going on. And David says, we have a shepherd, and he is speaking in a language that everyone in his day understood. Our God longs for us to know and trust Him as a shepherd. And when you and I begin to learn and to rest in the shepherd, restoration and life actually begins. In fact, one of the things that I wrote in my notes, and please forgive me, get something to drink. I took some cold medicine about 20 minutes ago, and it's kicking in right now, and I don't have any spit in my mouth. But anyway, too much information. But there will come a point in your lives as you walk with God where you will literally have to make a choice. We just sang a couple of minutes ago that He is God. And the truth of the matter is, you will come to a place where you will either need to trust in who God says He is, or you will disbelieve Him and live as basic deists within the community. David is saying God will bring us to a place of salvation and restoration. And the truth of the matter is, if sheep can't live in a fearful society or circumstance, do you think we're able to do that? To live a life without lack, we are called to live without fear and to live fearlessly. So for the next few moments, I want to ask you some basic questions. That first one would be, what do you fear? For most of us won't ever admit that we do have those types of things, but what keeps you up at night? I mean, one of the things that strikes me culturally as I watch the news and see all the things that are going on, it just seems like the media and news and our politicians are just layering a sense of fear all the time. It's not that we're going to have a flu season, we're going to have an epidemic type of season. It's not as if the economy is going to go bad, it's going to completely tank. It's not as if, you know the rhetoric, we fear so much nowadays. And yet we live in the safest time we've ever lived in as a world. We have a fear of failure. So many of us live our lives just hoping we're going to get through and don't make any mistakes and don't look foolish. We worry about what people think about us. We have a fear of death. I meet people on a regular basis that sort of are wrestling through that. I can remember I was telling you a story in New Jersey. I went to a hospital, and I was a chaplain at that hospital, so I would go in once a week for a couple hours and just have prayer with people. And I remember I went into one room with a lady, and I said, "How can I have a prayer with you?" And she absolutely freaked out and started yelling and screaming and telling me to leave. I found out after the fact the reason she did that, she thought because when a pastor comes to your hospital room, that always means it's bad news. So if I show up, no, just joking. But we fear death. We fear sickness, don't we? And yet we're told, the other thing we fear, we fear one another. We fear immigrants. We fear people that are different from us. I know for some of you, when you walk in Walmart, you're always looking about, trying to sort of take risk management of all the circumstances and situations and think, what if? I mean, for some of you sitting here, there's some of you here that fear Democrats. There's some of you who fear Republicans. I mean, I think for a lot of us, even from an older generation, we fear not being able to take care of ourselves when we get old. And I think we've almost had a place where we fear what we don't know what we fear. It's just sort of a note that strings behind our life day in and day out. Yet the Scripture says a very opposite message for us. The Scripture says our shepherd has given us the freedom to fear nothing. Did you hear that? That's what is going on. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I will not lack. I will not fear. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Literally, that word can be, he literally restores my life. That's what salvation does. That's what our shepherd does. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. So I want to ask you this. If you're fearful right now or you're not experienced the life of Psalm 23, how are you going to deal with that? What are you going to do? Because I think a lot of us are sitting here today and we would never confess that we're fearful. But in our heart of hearts, you know and we know that we are. So if you're at that place where you're fearful and wondering about this passage, I have a couple simple things that you can come before God with. Ask him to give you his peace. One of the great things about having a relationship with God is that we can approach him and say, "Father, I am so fearful about this. Will you give me your peace?" Secondly, you can ask him to fill your mind with himself, because one of the things that we're going to talk about fear, a lot of it has to do of what we think and how we respond. But you can come before God and say, "Father, would you fill your mind, fill our minds, fill my mind with yourself?" And see, God loves to answer requests like that because they're biblical and right. But there's more steps. You and I as a people need to choose to know more about him. We need to learn and study and grow and experience more of Christ in everyday situations. That's one of the reasons why we're talking about Mission 119. That will give you some tools that will literally transform your life. It isn't an empty promise there. It's the truth if you will grab hold of it. And if we are going to continue to know and trust the Lord as he is, we will find ourselves in a place where there's perfect peace and rest and hope. So how can you know this peace? I think it begins by you ask him to move within your heart, but I think it also means you and I need to be a people that begin to know the Word of God. That's why I gave you the homework of reading through Psalm 23 two or three times a day, because when that truth begins to seep in, our lives will get to be changed. For some of you, you wonder what God is like. And one of the things the Scripture says, if you want to know what the Heavenly Father is like, look at Jesus. If you have your Bibles with you today, I want you to do something a little bit different. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, if you don't know where that is, look it up in the table of context. If you've been to a wedding, this is usually the one that they use at weddings, and it is just such an amazingly overwhelming passage of Scripture, because this couple is sitting there, they've gone through the counseling, they're between you and God and all of the crowd, and we tell them, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it doesn't boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong, love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And for most of the couples, as they're listening to that, they are just happy to get through the day. And they've probably been fighting all the way up until the night before. Who knows where your aunt and uncle are going to sit, and I don't really care. And then the crazy cycle begins. But if you want to know what Jesus is like, look at that Scripture again, and every single time you see the word love, put Jesus in. If you want to know what the Heavenly Father is like, it's like this. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus doesn't envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. Jesus is not rude. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no records of wrong. Jesus doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus never fails. What if you began to worship and serve a God like that? See, part of the reasons why we wrestle with fear is that we don't really believe that that's the way God is like. So I want to challenge you this week to continue to begin reading Psalm 23 at least two or three times a day and begin to shift the way your mind works and thinks. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. I shall not fear anything. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear nor no evil. So you've begun with those prayers. You've begun to study the Word of God and recognize who God is and how He longs to work in your life. But the next thing I'm going to ask you to do may seem a little bit crazy, but I think it's truthful if we're honest. Begin to take captive the random thoughts that pop into your head. See, I believe most of us walk around all day having thoughts. And in fact, it's funny because, well, men can actually not think things. I mean, that's just, we have that empty box. We're allowed to do that every so often. But most people are always thinking things. And I think most of us wander around and we just assume the thoughts that come into our head, whatever they may be, they're right, they're okay, they're no big deal. But I want to challenge you, if you're beginning to have thoughts about doubting God, or maybe he's not your shepherd, or everything's going to fall apart, or I'm going to be a failure, or nobody likes me, or life is just going to be awful and bad, I think there comes a place where you need to stop and capture those thoughts and ask these questions. Are they biblical? Is it a true thought? Is it an accurate thought? Or is it a false thought? Or is it giving half thoughts about Christ? And I think all of us walk through that. In fact, the last service, where is Laura? Laura, the last hymn that you did, what was the title of it? Have Thine Own Way, Lord. This is how you can apply that. I was actually singing that song, and I thought, have your own way, Lord. And a part of me said, uh-oh, I'm not sure I want that. Because that means it's going to be a miserable life, or that means the car's not going to work, or that means this. I mean, do you ever stop and think, wait a minute, that's false thinking? Have my own way, Lord. If I believe that he was the shepherd that has promised to take care of me and give me all that I need, that should be the response of every circumstance that I face. Have your own way, Lord, because I trust you. Do you realize that you can stop the thoughts that capture your imaginations? When you get up in the morning and the first thing is, today's going to be a bad day, take that thought captive and say, that's not true, because my God has said he's going to supply all of my needs. Just imagine if we began to believe what the scripture says. What if we began to fill our minds with truth? When you're walking into that job interview or you're walking into that difficult circumstance and you begin to think you're all on your own and nobody cares and you're isolated and by yourself, do you ever stop and confront those types of thoughts with the truth? Because the Word of God says that my God is with me. No matter where I find myself, my God is with me. I have a shepherd. It's his truth. Have you ever wondered, and I think we all get to that place every so often where you think, where on earth am I going, or what on earth is happening to me? But what does it say in verse 4, or before that, verse 3? It says, he restores my soul, he gives me life, and he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Literally, the idea there is that he not only puts us on right paths, he literally gives us good paths to walk down. Do you believe that? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you believe that you live with a shepherd like that? Do you counteract the thoughts that so easily capture us living in America in 2019? Do you give in to the hopelessness that we hear about every single day? Have you found yourself in circumstances this week and stopped and said, wait a minute, I have a good shepherd? Because it will change how you do life. And see, I think one of the biggest truths you and I need to believe and trust in is that we have a shepherd that loves the sheep. And again, we say it so glibly, Jesus loves you. Or we're not sure what to say. Every so often we'll say, well, God loves you. And we say it because we're not sure what to say and how to comfort somebody. But what if you really believed that God loved you? What if you really began to believe that you were part of his flock and he knows you by name? What if you really began to believe that he is the God who can supply all of your needs, no matter what it may be or where they may be found? What if you began to believe that you can rest because you know who holds tomorrow? What if you began to believe that God is in the process of restoring your lives with eternity in mind? Do you think that would change how you do things? Every single month we gather as a congregation and we take the Lord's Supper. It's that tangible reminder of God's grace and God's mercy and God's forgiveness and God's love for us. What if we truly began to believe that this was more than just a religious ceremony, but we were coming before God, the restorer of our lives, and celebrating the gift of salvation, that the restoring power of God is upon us? What if you walked out of here this morning just recognizing within your heart in such a way that it was stuck there that God loves me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It sounds like a simple thing, but I truly believe it's foundational to all the other stuff. In a few moments, we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper. The shepherd is providing for us the gift of salvation, the place of forgiveness, the joy of restoration. But I wanted to share a song with you that it's actually, I think I played it here probably 6 or 7 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. It's from a guy that was one of our worship leaders in New Jersey, an amazing guitarist and a great singer. But The video is not that good, but the words are pretty powerful. That you are a person that God sent his son for. That he loved you that much. And if you don't walk away with anything else in the service dealing with Psalm 23, begin to recognize the truth that God is with you and he is the good shepherd. partake together, would you remind us of that truth? Would you remind us that you are the God who has pursued us with love and grace and mercy? Would you remind us of that you're the sovereign deity of all creation, and yet you have made a place and made room for us at the table and called us sons and daughters? Father, you are the good shepherd. You do make us lie down in green pastures. You do bring us beside still waters. You do restore our souls. And you do guide us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Father, I ask that you would bathe all who are here today with your love and mercy and grace. And for those who are maybe sitting in these pews that have never, ever examined the fact that you are a God who loves them, would you speak to their hearts right now? Would you give them the courage to turn and just stop and say, Father, you are God and I am not. And I will take that gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Would you forgive me and come into me? And be my ruler and reign, and be my shepherd. Father, for those of us who have become too comfortable with the message, would you overwhelm us today with your mercy and grace? Would you allow us to be a people that leave here filled with the love of God as we tangibly partake together of the cross and the death and resurrection of our Savior? Thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. If our helpers could come.